You're with Stateside. I'm April Baer. Vaccines are now available in Michigan to any adult who wants them. But the fact is that some of the groups hardest hit by the COVID-19 pandemic are also being vaccinated at lower rates. In Michigan and across the country, both Black and Latinx communities are facing higher rates of infection and death and lower rates of vaccination. A group of community organizers in Washtenaw County set out to change that and to try to make vaccination doses more accessible. With us today are Spring Quiñones. She's an outreach coordinator for the Washtenaw County Health Plan. Spring, welcome.
Thank you.
And Maria Militzer is with us too. She's the president of Mexiquenses en Michigan, a nonprofit that was started by Spanish-speaking parents, which has taken on several different kinds of work and advocacy over the past couple of years. Maria is also a postdoc scholar at the Center for Research on Ethnicity, Culture, and Health at the University of Michigan School of Public Health. Maria, it's good to have you.
Hi, everyone.
To start off with, Spring, could you just tell us a little bit about what you observed last year at this time as COVID was starting to spread through the community?
Well, when the pandemic hit and there was all of this uncertainty as to what was this that was striking the world, right? And not having enough information about what was this COVID-19, what was this virus? And as we were trying to grapple with that, the information had to also be translated into other languages, especially into Spanish, because the Latino community, they were relying on information coming from their own countries. And that was even scarier because we were all still trying to figure out what was happening. The thing that came along with the COVID was also the mental strain and the mental anxiety and the fear that was gripping everyone. And what our families, our Latinx community, they already have certain fears about not having the proper documentation, let's say, to be here, expired licenses, or just that general fear of always being cautious of even taking your kids to school, because that can bring about other actions that could lead to, the worst circumstance, which is, your family being separated.
Right. Well, so with this in mind, could you both tell us what you were thinking about when you started to design the outreach, what it should look like and what it had to help people do? Maria, do you want to maybe start out?
Well, we came up with a very comprehensive approach to try to support and strengthen the support network that we created since a year ago to support our families in all ways possible. We raised funds from the larger community and the support of local foundations to support families to assist with rent payment and just cover basic needs, to the distribution of PPE and food and groceries and some financial support to pay for their medications and basic needs for their children, including internet access so that they could connect to their learning virtually.
Keep on with school. Yeah. I've heard some people refer to what's happened over the past year as the Omni crisis. It sounds like that was just as true for the families that you work with as it was for anybody in Michigan. I think a lot of us probably take for granted that we can get on the internet, log into a website to make an appointment. And for many of us, that's going to be in some language that we understand. And some of us have time to wait by the computer for more appointments to open up or check several times a day. And for others of us, this is just that's not possible. What did you feel like you had to try to do to help people with the technology that is a part of vaccine appointments in so many places?
Access to the systems that were implemented and still are in place require very knowledgeable people to be able to navigate internet systems and register themselves in order to get in line to receive the vaccine. But that's not the case for all community members, and especially when language barriers are up front, we do need to create systems that accommodate every single member, every single resident in our counties, not just a system that will work for the average person. And I'm not talking just about language barriers for the Latinx communities, but also for the African American and / Black communities. Many of our residents face technology limitations and even internet access because of the cost, because of their location, because of different factors that promote these health disparities that we see across our county.
Right. I know that Detroit had some success in getting people on the phone to sign up instead of just giving them a website, giving them a phone number so they could call to schedule. Spring, was that something that was an option in Washtenaw County?
You know, it was heavily geared for the, you know, for the internet, right? Because most people have access on their phones, and it's easier to do that. I know that there was a phone line set up that if people press 4, then we had someone from the Washtenaw Health Department answer in Spanish and return phone calls that way. But still, the access to the links and access to the whole registration system was still very cumbersome, was still all in English. And so that was a little bit, that was definitely challenging for our community.
Yeah. If people get to the point of being able to get a date and a time when they can show up and be vaccinated, how much of a problem is it for people to get appointments at a time when they can go?
That's a very good question, April, because many of our Latinx and Black and African-American residents work not just one, but maybe 2 or 3 jobs a day. And being available to accommodate the traditional 9-to-5 schedule that most government offices held is very difficult. So creating opportunities to access the vaccine was of crucial importance for the Latinx leaders that are been working really hard for their communities in the last year and a half. Creating the opportunity to get vaccinated after hours when they are done from their daily jobs and don't have to sacrifice work time, which ends up being a limitation in their already very limited income, has to happen.
You've both been involved in public health for a long time. I wonder how you feel the vaccine rollout has been going, perhaps compared with the need in the community.
To me, and many of our community residents, it's not fast enough. It's not flexible enough or accommodating enough. We're starting to work with other clinics in the area so that vaccination can occur more rapidly. People want to get vaccinated. They want to be protected despite all the misinformation out there that contradicts the efficiency and efficacy of the vaccines. They want to protect their families. We just need to create those opportunities, give them access to get vaccinated in a timely manner, especially when we see that the number of cases, the number of hospitalizations and death rates in minority communities is highly devastating compared to other populations, to other segments of the population in Washtenaw County and across the state and across the country.
Yeah. Do you feel like there are certain things that the pandemic has made plain, maybe things that community members themselves were all too aware of about the limitations of public health and the healthcare system, that you think, you know, if someone asked, how can we improve this, you know, maybe the first things that you would say that the pandemic has highlighted?
I think that right now we are in a time of awareness, of social change, social justice. Everybody's becoming more aware of health disparities. And once we are aware, then we know where we're going and what we could do, right? These create opportunities for health systems and health departments to address these issues. I think traditionally health departments, you know, they really didn't reflect the community that they were here to serve. And I feel that at least here in our county, we are more committed to doing that. We have had opportunities where we have worked with, say, for example, the Latinx community, where we did a health survey a few years ago to really find out what the health needs were of the Latino community. Through there, we've also have formed Community Voices, which is groups of community members that do meet with staff from the health department to bring forth what the issues are. I mean, there's still a lot of work to be done. However, there are steps in the right direction. Definitely, this pandemic really showed the chasm as to who was getting affected most by the virus and such. But I really feel that there is a commitment from the health department to work with our community partners to bridge that. And I think that we are starting with the pop-up clinics, working with groups like Maria Militar Mexiquense, St. Francis of Assisi, where we could have these pop-up clinics occur at churches during evening hours. And this is just the beginning. There are more community partners that we can connect with. So we are very aware of the different health inequities in our county. And we are, you know, I really feel that we are committed to addressing those.
Yeah. Spring, on the one hand, what you're describing, it feels like a very uplifting story about people who came together to make it safer for their families and their neighbors. And on the other hand, it's a story of people who had to do that because a broader system failed them. I wonder if either of you have thoughts on how we reconcile those two sides of the coin.
April, thank you so much for making these comparisons. For a while, I have been thinking, you know, in this effort to plan and implement the pop-up clinics that have been happening, all the heavy lifting to do the registration for folks that are Spanish speakers in order to receive the vaccine, creating a volunteer pool so that bilingual community members can be present and assist nurses in order to get the vaccine and in the arms of people that need them the most, has been draining for the community. And I hate to say this, but I see it sometimes as one more manifestation of a structural racism, where it comes to communities to do the heavy lifting to create change for themselves, because the system in place is so much eager to serve the average person that already have access to the other opportunities that many people, communities of color, don't. It's sad, but at the end of the day, if it happened to be the COVID crisis, to see it with our own eyes one more time and seeing people die in such high numbers, to realize that we have to do something, not to get our systems back to where they were before the pandemic started, but completely transform the way we see public health and the way that we practice public health. And that public health is not just about getting vaccines in people's arms. It's about counteracting all these forces in place that keep reinforcing the social determinants of health that are causing all these inequities, starting with the very bad word that we are so scared of saying, but racism is still very much embedded in all points of interactions that we have with communities of color and people with low income and people with low education.
Right. Spring, anything you'd like to add to that?
You know, I work with a program within the public health department, but I know that we are addressing the isms that keep people from living their full, healthy lives, right? And so we have named that racism is a public health crisis, that racism is, you know, we have named it, you know, and I think that once you start to name it and talk about it, and, you know, these are can be uncomfortable conversations, but these are very important conversations to have. You know, like it's you know, like you see a ballet, right? You come to the or to a show and it's just beautiful and it's flowing and it's graceful, but you don't see everything, the sacrifice, the pain, the tears that went into all those hours and hours and hours and hours of rehearsal. So you may come to a pop-up clinic and see us smiling and excited and grateful that we're doing this, but you are not seeing all the intense hours of volunteers that they themselves are out there cleaning houses, working in restaurants, washing dishes, coming home, getting on their cell phones and returning people's phone calls and registering them themselves to get to these clinics. And so I feel like we need to have more Marias, more Springs.
Yeah.
And, you know, available, you know, we are the public health system has to reflect more the community. We can't be these unicorns in public health, right? No, this is not, we're not playing doctor here. This, you know, these are people's lives, and it has to take a very strong commitment from, you know, from everyone to, you know, address these health disparity issues in our county.
Spring Quiñones is an outreach coordinator for the Washtenaw County Health Plan. We've also been talking with Maria Militzer, a postdoctoral scholar at the Center for Research on Ethnicity, Culture, and Health at the University of Michigan. She's also the president of Mexiquenses en Michigan, a nonprofit that has been working with Spanish-speaking parents and families in Washtenaw County. Maria, Spring, it's been great talking to you. Thank you for all your work.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening.